Hello, my precious friend. This is Pastor Verna Brown, and I am so excited that you have chosen to join us by podcast today. I pray that this message is inspiring, it's encouraging, and that it propels you further into the destiny that God has for you. Sit back and enjoy. Ready to receive the word. How many of you are ready? We're going to pray, but I just want to, by a show of hands, how many of you feel like there's a warfare right now? Like a crazy warfare. Okay. Yeah. You know what? I just want to encourage you. When the enemy comes at you that hard, it means there's something imminently great. It's like that close, okay? So just go into the positive and understand that you're a threat to the enemy. And you're about ready to break through into some things. Come on, somebody. You're about ready to break through into some things. And he is terrified. And he's coming at you hard, but he's a loser. He's already lost. Amen. You're not fighting for victory. You're fighting from it. If I can encourage you, this is not your first pony ride, hopefully. He's a liar. His army is smaller. Then your God's army is bigger. You serve Jehovah Sabaoth, commander of heaven's angel armies. And he's for you. He's not against you. And he's fighting your battle for you. So I want you to take a deep breath. Come on. And just know this is not all on you. Okay? Because he's going to try to wear you out. I have discerned it in probably the last week heavier than I have in a very long time. And I'm going to say this, and I'm going to say this publicly because I'm hoping you're watching. There's someone who is trying to antagonize me through our Soul Harvest Worship Center website. And I just want you to know that I have released the blood of Jesus against every demonic spirit that you are partnering with. I have prayed for your soul. This church belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Most High God. And what we're doing here is lifting up the name of Jesus Christ. We do not partner with any of your satanic rhetoric. And I command the spirit operating through you to flee in the name of Jesus. There we go. And the Lord says to love your enemies and to bless those that persecute you and say all manner of evil against you. So I have been praying and releasing the love of God toward this individual. People are in darkness. And the Lord wants to bring them out. And it's interesting that not only are you being a target right now, but I personally am a target. And I just rejoice because that means we're doing something right. Amen. We rejoice in the name of Jesus. All right, so today I am in a revised sermon because I felt the Lord really speaking to me about us fortifying and utilizing the faith that he has given to us. Because everything we receive from the Lord, we have to have active faith to get it. Amen? So the enemy's busy right now trying to get you and I to doubt what God has said about the vision he's given to us for the house, about your family life, your personal life. The enemy wants you to doubt God, to not take God at his word. Doubt, in its purest form, is not a sin. Did you know that? But if you don't kill it, it will turn into unbelief. And unbelief is a sin. And when you get into sin, even though your sins are forgiven and your sins have been removed as far as the east is from the west, when you partner with a sinful behavior, what happens is it opens the door to the enemy and it allows him to come in and begin to steal. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And he wants to take out of your heart the word and the promise that God has put in there. And right now, I believe God is about to supernaturally intervene in your life and help you in areas where you need supernatural assistance. But the enemy is wanting you to foster and to carry doubt in your heart. When God gives you a dream, when he gives you something that is from his heart, you are going to need to have strong faith. That's why he gave us the shield of faith with which we extinguish how many? All the fiery darts of the enemy. He gives us his faith. You're going to need to activate that faith again and again. And even when you can't see it, you still need to believe it. Because we walk by faith. The just live by what? Faith. It doesn't say the just live by their feelings. When you see things in the natural, you're going to feel a certain way about it. When you hear things, bad reports, you're going to feel a certain way about it. But we have to become stronger in our faith than we are in our feelings. Many times our feelings feel stronger than our faith. Amen? So you need to surround yourself with people who believe what God said, who can look at the adverse circumstances in your life and say, I know these things are happening, but against all the circumstances, against all odds, I choose to believe God's word. I take God at his word, and I will stand with you. I call these people dream releasers, not dream killers. Amen? There's always going to be negative people who want to pour cold water on your faith and cause you to doubt. I say keep your faith on fire. Just keep it hot. Keep it fervent. There are people, and you don't want to be one of these, but the enemy's going to work on you. If he can't get you, he's going to get people around you to say, oh yeah, how's that going to happen? And people will try to talk you out of things. They will try to limit the things that God has called you to. But God doesn't want you to live a limited life. And sometimes he will prune people off of your life. As painful as it is, he will prune people off of your life that need to go. They need to go because their voice of doubt and unbelief is growing in your life. And if you do not eliminate these voices around you, you will get into fear, doubt, and unbelief with them. You need to get some people in your life. You don't have to have a whole lot. In fact, sometimes you got to walk alone. You got to walk alone with Jesus and have the power of his agreement, the Holy Spirit's agreement, and the Father's agreement. Amen? But don't you change inside to agree with those voices around you. And today I want to talk about a story from the Old Testament that perfectly illustrates how that doubt will cause you to go without. Believing will cause you to receive, but doubt will cause you to go without. And I say kill doubt before it kills your dreams. And sometimes it will get you killed as well. I don't want this to be a negative message, but here is a story from the Old Testament that is a great illustration. There was a hardship going on in the land. There was famine, there was lack, and the Lord sent the man of God to release a word. You guys have words going out all the time, words of encouragement. That's why you come to church. That's why you get in the corporate anointing, because you can be all up in your head and have all kinds of warfare going on. You come into church and all of a sudden everything gets settled and you feel hope again. You feel faith again. Why? Because you got around a bunch of other believers that are encouraged in their own spirit and willing to believe God, and that's important. But the word of the Lord is coming to us in this hour, and the Lord is strong in what he's saying. He's saying, there's going to be enough. There is going to be meat in my house. I am going to take care of you. I'm going to take care of you spiritually. I'm going to take care of you financially. I'm going to take care of you relationally. I'm going to take care of you emotionally. I'm going to take care of you physically. I am going to take care of you. But the enemy wants you to give voice, the same voice that he gave in the garden. Did God really say, can this happen? So Elisha comes and he gives the word of the Lord, and what it is a promise of provision. It says in verse 7 of 2 Kings 7, then Elisha said, hear the word of the Lord. If I could just stop right there, for anybody who's already kind of waiting for lunch and thinking about what you're going to do this afternoon, look right here. I need you to hear the word of the Lord. Tomorrow about this time, a measure of finely milled flour will sell for a shekel and 2 measures of barley for a shekel at the gate of Samaria. Then the royal officer on whose arm the king leaned answered the man of God and said, now I want to stop right there. You can't get much closer to the king. I want to ask you, who are you leaning on right now? Because sometimes it's the people you lean on that doubt the most. And if God has removed some people that you've been leaning on, just know this, he's got you covered. If someone close to you that you've been leaning on betrays you, God still has you covered. And he's coming to you with a word right now, and he's saying, lean on me. Watch. This guy says, if the Lord should make windows in heaven for the rain, could this thing take place? In other words, even if he opened all the windows in heaven and poured out blessings, how is this going to happen? Never have I heard more of a statement of doubt. You can get to a point where what you see seems so bad that you feel like even if God did his best, it would never rescue you out of the problem you're in. That's a bad place to be in. Okay? And Elisha said to him, I don't know how he said it, I think he got really bothered because he came with the word of the Lord. He was the major prophet and he had a strong word of the Lord that there's going to be food. And it's going to be sold for very little. There's going to be so much of it that the price will be low. Everyone can get some, right? There's going to be more than enough. So Elisha turns to him and he says, behold, from my neighborhood, this is called check it. Check it out. You will see it. Watch this. You will see it with your own eyes, but because you doubt, you will not eat of it. Wow. That's not the end of the story. See where the story begins is a word comes and someone close to the king who he trusted sows fear, doubt, and unbelief in his heart because he chooses to look at the circumstances more than to take God at his word. Unbelief questions God's word. Faith takes God at his word. And we've got to have faith. There's 2 references here. I love this one from the Message regarding Abraham. In Romans 4, 19, it says, Abraham didn't focus on his own impotence and say it's hopeless. Wow, that inspires me. That's reality. His junk didn't work. He was too old. Man, I want to prophesy. Some of you, you've been waiting so long. You feel like you don't even work anymore, you know? That's pretty bad. I love Abraham. Abraham had crazy face. He's like, my chick's old. She's never had a baby. Neither one of us are in any shape, but we have a promise. That's all you need. We have this promise. You know, the enemy's been lying to many of you. It's been too long. Man, you've been waiting a long time. You've been believing that a long time. Are you sure God said that to you? Why are you still trying? Aren't you glad Abraham tried? And it worked? Finally? You know what? He said this, 100-year-old body could never father, he didn't say that, 100-year-old body could never father a child, nor did he survey Sarah's decades of infertility and give up. He didn't tiptoe around God's promise, asking cautiously skeptical questions. He plunged into the promise and came up strong, ready for God, sure that God would make good on what he had said. That's why it is said Abraham was declared fit before God by trusting God to set him right. But it's not just Abraham, it's also us. The same thing gets said about us when we embrace and believe the one who brought Jesus to life when the conditions were equally hopeless. The sacrifice Jesus made us fit for God and set us right with God. So, you know, Jesus showed up right when he was supposed to show up. They had waited a long time for the Savior of Israel to show up. And he came right on time. And many people believed him, but there are people that didn't. There are people today that still do not believe that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. And they're waiting for the Messiah. And you know who they're going to get? The Antichrist. That's who they're going to get. We have the history of the Bible. We have proof through all of the fulfilled prophecies that Jesus is who he says he is. I mean, what more do we need? He said he would come. He said he would live. He would be buried. He would rise again on the third day. He has done that. He says he's coming back. And every word that he's spoken shall come to pass. It has. It will continue to come to pass. And if he's given you a specific word, all you got to do is hold on to it and not let go of it. Jesus confronted Nicodemus about this unbelief. He was in the upper echelon of the Jewish society. He was in charge of the church of the day. But this guy came to Jesus and he wanted to know. He felt something different about him. He wanted to know, how do I enter the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus said to him, you're a respected teacher of Israel in John 3. And you don't know these basics? Listen carefully. I'm speaking sober truth to you. I speak only of what I know by experience. I give witness only to what I have seen with my own eyes. There is nothing secondhand here, no hearsay. Yet instead of facing the evidence and accepting it, watch this, you procrastinate with questions. If I tell you things that are plain as the hand before your face and you don't believe me, what use is there in telling you of things you can't see, the things of God? There are many of us that are waiting for bigger things, waiting for bigger things to be fulfilled, waiting and waiting for all these big things. Can you believe God for the last thing he said to you? Can you believe him for what he's saying to you in this season, right now? Somebody said, yes, I can. I know I can. Because there is no option for me. You have to burn the ships. Amen? There is no plan B for me. There's no secondhand plan. For me, there's no mission drift. It's not like, oh, I've been doing this so long and so many things haven't come to pass yet and I'm tired and, you know, I might as well just throw in the towel and change directions and, you know, change course. There is no plan B. I burn the ships. God's going to do what he said he's going to do. He's going to fulfill every word that he's spoken to me. Every word that he has spoken to me shall come to pass in the name of Jesus. And it will in your life too. All you have to do is be faithful in the waiting. So the second point is this. Faith holds fast to God's promise to help, but unbelief says, how can these things be? Could this really happen? Etc. I want to finish the rest of the story there in 2 Kings, but I want to paraphrase it. What happened is the Lord caused the Aramean army, which had surrounded the city of Samaria, and cut off all their food supplies. He caused them to hear the sound of chariots and horses coming against them. God can do anything. There was no horses and chariots, but God caused them to hear something that wasn't even there. Say the enemy is tripping. I want you to say it again. Right now, the enemy is tripping. See, God can cause the enemy to start tripping about you. There are more for you than there are against you. I really believe that what wasn't there in the natural, the enemy heard in the supernatural. They heard the armies of God, actually heard the armies of God, even though there was nothing happening in the natural. And what happened is the enemy became so fearful that they fled on foot and they left the silver, the gold, the food, the clothes, and the weapons. They left everything. And what happened was the king, who was listening to this guy he leaned on, and all of them had abandoned the place. They weren't even at their post, and all the stuff that they needed got delivered to their post. And lepers, who were not allowed to be even near the city, come in and find the city abandoned because of fear, doubt, and unbelief. Somebody said, that's a good day for lepers. Even though they needed healing in their body. So some lepers come and they discover the empty camp. Now the lepers go and they tell the king, who has abandoned the place. This is like you abandoning your mission, abandoning what God told you is going to happen. You leaving your purpose, you leaving your position. And God, who is committed to your position and committed to your purpose, brings all the supplies and everything you need because he's already delivered a word and he's bound to his word. And somebody else has to come and find your blessings because you're not there for them when they arrive. You're hiding out at home in your sick bed, in your depression bed with the doors closed. It's a good word. So these lepers discover it. And the people of the city ran to pick up the provision and ended up trampling the doubter. And exactly what Elisha said came to pass. He saw the provision with his own eyes, but he didn't get to eat it. Just as God had said. What has God said to you? What is the enemy trying to get you to run away from? I read a statement one time that says, doubt kills more dreams than failure ever will. We've all failed. But it's what you do with the failures that matter. Failure is part of the journey. There are days you are going to fail. You're going to fail the tests. You're going to fail in many ways. But as John Maxwell so brilliantly said, sometimes you win and sometimes you learn. I've learned more through failure than I ever did through success. In fact, my success is the result of many failures. But I keep getting up. I keep getting up. And you got to keep getting up. There are days that doubt wins. But in your heart, you know, God, I'm still going to believe. Today, I let doubt get the best of me. But I'm going to get up and I'm going to keep believing. Amen? And I'm not going to quit. And I'm going to hold on to hope. The Lord's been speaking to me about hope. In fact, tomorrow I have a word coming out on Facebook about hope and abounding hope. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit causes your heart to abound with hope. What that is it means it comes in large quantity. It's not just a little bit of hope. It'll trickle down once in a while, but then the Holy Spirit comes and says, hold on. Hope will cause you to get up and say, all things are working together for my good. Hope will cause you to get up and say, I'm going to try one more time. I'm going to love again. I'm going to sow again. I'm going to talk again. I'm going to preach again. I'm going to work again. I'm going to get up. I'm going to do it again. I'm going to keep going because I have hope. I have hope. If I've got breath in my body, like we sang about this morning, you're not done. You're not done with my dreams. Why would God give you a dream and then be done with it? That would make him double-minded. And he's not a man that he should lie. He's not double-minded. He's singular-minded. And I want to end on this today. True faith is active and it's grateful each step of the way. It's grateful. You know, many times we remember seasons where we had more than we currently do. How many of you have been through seasons like that where you had more in the previous season than you did in that season or even now? I want to paraphrase the rest of this because I don't want to keep us here too long, but Israel went through a season where they had more. They had more in terms of physical provision than they did on the way to the promise. But even though they had physically more, they had financially more, they were still in bondage. They were not living in the land that God promised to their father Abraham. And on the way there, they looked at the provision that God had given them in that season, which we know was called manna. Manna came every day, but they couldn't store it up. They didn't have accounts and barns, and they were going somewhere new. And the Lord wanted them to depend on him daily. It said of that little seed manna that it was like coriander seed, and in it had all the nutrients. All of the nutrients needed to keep a person healthy. And he gave them their daily bread. And they complained. What is this? We remember how we had it back there. We remember the garlic and the leeks and the meat and all of these things. How easily we forget the yoke of bondage that we were under. Sometimes we look back at relationships that we were in, and even though they weren't good for us, maybe we had a better house. Maybe we had better cars. Maybe we had better things. But our heart wasn't okay. I've been there. I won't go through the list of the things that I had, but in the world's standards, it looked like, yeah, look at all that she had. I wasn't okay. I didn't have this. And in that season, things got real lean in terms of what the world looks at as success. But I got me back. And the Lord met me in that season. And he took care of me. I wasn't rolling on 20s with diamonds all over and furs in the closet, trips around the world, fancy cars and country club memberships. I was in a simple place with 3 square meals a day and a God who loves me and a great big promise on my life. And he met me every day and he took care of me because he was taking me somewhere. I knew I can't run back to all that because there's no satisfaction in that. I can have a belly full of the best food on the planet, but if my heart's not okay, it's not worth it. And I have held on to that promise through every lean season. I've had plenty, I've had a lot, I have had little, but like the Apostle Paul, I have come to the place where I say, I am content in the Lord. I have learned to abound. I have learned in seasons of lack that he is good, and his promises are yes and amen, and they will never fail me. And what he has promised me, I may not see all of it yet, but I can tell you this, things are about ready to start happening in rapid succession.
situation. There's good things on the horizon. Come on, stand up to your feet. How many of you want to believe with me that the past is where it needs to stay? Amen? There are beautiful things on the horizon, and many of you are in the middle right now. I want to encourage you. God is fortifying your faith. You have faith in the middle. I want you to say this. I have faith in the middle that will carry me to what God has promised to me. And today, I will kill doubt and not let it rob me of the dreams that He has put in my heart. Say, Jesus, You are Lord of my life. And I thank You that everything You promised shall come to pass. Amen and amen. Come on, give Him a big old praise. Altar time earlier, but if any of you right now feel like there is a warfare against your promise and you want to come up and get prayer, I want you to come on up and meet me up here, because I'm going to come down and pray with a few of you if you need it. Otherwise, I love you and I'll see you. Come on.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode. It is because of you that this ministry is made possible. We also want to give a special thanks to those who give so generously to this ministry. If you are interested in partnering with us, click the link below in the description to give now or visit our website at soulharvestwc.org. Make sure to follow us by tapping the plus sign in the top right corner of your screen. If today's message spoke to you, please share this episode with your friends and family by clicking the share button. And don't forget to tag us on your social media at Soul Harvest WC. Thanks again for listening, and God bless.